I want to talk to you about Robert Redford and the movie that I absolutely love. I have five baseball movies that are on the top of my list. One is The Natural. It's this incredible story of this farm kid who makes it big. And they say to him in his comeback, he's a natural. He's a lefty and he can really hit the ball. He's a natural. Well, nobody gets to be a natural automatically. You don't just show up one day, put the pinstripes on, and then expect to be a natural. It takes hours and hours and weeks and months and years of commitment and dedication. And this morning I want to talk to you about The Natural. Practice makes perfect as a Christian. It's the same thing. You don't just show up one day and everything's perfect. It takes a lot of practice. And I think a lot of people think, well, now that I've accepted Jesus as my Savior, I've got everything figured out. And I'm not sure we have everything figured out. In fact, there was an article I read, and one young guy said this. This preacher said, practice makes perfect. I've been in many churches that people come to week after week, year after year, decade after decade. And here's what he says. Now, I don't know if you agree with this or not. And he says, and they are no different than they were 30 years ago. And I read that and I thought, I don't know if that's true. People, he says, I know churches where people go week after week, year after year, decade after decade, and they're no different than they were 30 years ago. This is what he says. They listen to hundreds of sermons and there's no change. These faithful hearers will even go so far as to agree with the word by shouting amen. But where's the breakdown? Where's the disconnection? Many people, for whatever reason, think that hearing from God alone changes them. They have categorized their lives. They are often trying to live two separate lives. They're pursuing various treasures throughout the week in the world, and then they come to worship on Sunday morning, when in reality they're deceiving themselves. That's what he says. Now, I don't know if you agree with this guy or not. Hearing the word must lead to doing the word. We must live as believers 24/7. Now, that I agree with. They were made, the first century church, early church, was given a derogative nickname in the first century. They were made fun of, and they were called little Christs, or as we would know today as Christians. Why? Because as the townspeople saw how they conducted business, cared for their kids, went to work, they were reminded of the one who was crucified. They were reminded of Jesus Christ. Wow. The natural. They were living a natural life. They were so excited about God that it just naturally came out of everything they did, everything they said, their workplace, their home, their family, not just church on Sunday morning. And so this morning, last week we talked about salvation. This morning I want to talk about practice. Practice, practice, practice. I don't know how many grounders I took as a child. I don't know how many times I swung a bat. I do know I remember every moment as a kid, and some of you can remember this. As a kid, you played baseball until the sun went down. And when the sun went down, you found a street light, and you played in the streets until your mom called you in. It just was something you did. And we always went around the corner to the school, and we found that somebody on the block's parent always went over with us, and we got a game going. Whether it was Hosea, Beta, Mr. Scarrett, Mr. Schreffler, or my dad, somebody always got a game going. We played until we couldn't play anymore. We broke more windows in the front yard, the front of the house than I could even imagine. And it was just what you did. If you wanted to be natural at it, you had to start somewhere. Well, not everybody was natural. The same thing as a Christian. It's interesting as a Christian. There are people who come to Christ. They say, Jesus, be my Savior. And then they begin to walk their life. Oh, I go to church. But the question is, are they practicing? Are you practicing daily over and over and over again what you learn in church? Is it becoming natural to you? Because here's what I think. And I believe the Scripture supports this. That as a person, what I do is not natural to God. True. As a human being, apart from God, it is not natural for me to worship God. It's not natural for me to go to church. It's not natural for me to trust in the Lord. What is natural in the flesh, as we're born and we grow up in original sin handed down from our forefathers, from Adam, passed along, what's natural for me to do is to lie. What's natural to do is to look out for numero uno. What's natural for me is to have my Sunday mornings. What's natural for me is to trust myself. What's natural for me is to look into my own checkbook and figure out how I'm going to do it. That's natural. What is also natural is when things aren't going well is to complain. When someone offends me is to get them back. What's natural is to gossip. What's natural is to... Those are the natural things. So when we come to Christ, here's what we need to do. It's kind of like my kids. One of my kids, when he was younger, he couldn't throw the ball naturally. And so he threw the ball like this. And I said, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm throwing the ball." I said, "Well, we'll reach back and throw the ball." And so he got the ball and he went like this. And I said, "That's not natural. You're throwing like a..." I didn't say it. You did. I didn't say that. He just didn't throw naturally. He threw like this. And I said, "You got to reach back." And so I said, "Loosen up a little bit." And so it took years and years to change that. Now he reaches back and he throws naturally, not like a boy. He just throws naturally, and it's a very smooth motion. Now, when I say that is this. As a Christian, when I came to Christ, what was not natural is this. To sit down with my family and to pray together. And I don't mean, "Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest. Let this food to us be blessed. Amen." There, we did it. I'm talking about this. "Hey, how are you doing in school?" "Well, you know what? Why don't we just take a moment? Why don't we just gather around this family and let's pray over that? Let's see what we can find in Scripture about this." That's not natural. So you have to train yourself. You know what's not natural? It's going to church one day a week. There are people who think you're crazy for spending such a beautiful Sunday morning in church listening to someone tell you about God. You know, it's really not natural, even in some churches, is to go to church twice a week. To show up midweek and have a prayer service or go to a home group and to talk about God together in a house. That's not natural. And you know what's really not natural, and some people would find that unusual, that you would actually say, "I read this every day and I really seek God for my direction in my life and every decision I make is based on God." That is not natural. And so to be natural with God means you need to retrain everything in your life. The Bible actually talks about it. In fact, if you have that scripture that we heard read in 1 John, if you just go back, Peter, the apostle, actually addresses it in 2 Peter chapter 1. He talks about, he gives us a practice schedule. And I think we need a practice list. Here's what Paul says. As you're turning to 2 Peter chapter 1, Paul said this, "If anybody is in Christ, he's a new creation." Isn't that great? Amen. That's a good spot. Anybody that's in Christ is a new creation. The old has passed. Behold, everything is made new. I came to Christ and he just wiped away my past. He took all of my sin and he put it on his son, Jesus Christ. And he didn't just put it on him. He put it in him, through him, and he became sin for me. And he died and took that sin into a grave, buried it, and rose with new life. And the Bible says that I am going to enjoy that same new life. It says he is the first fruit of all of creation. And we shall rise. If we have died with Christ, we shall be raised with him without sin, without all these problems. And in righteousness, we'll be raised with Christ. That's pretty good news this morning. That Jesus became sin for me. I said it last week. He's my designated hitter. He stepped up to the plate when I couldn't, and he laid down a sacrifice, and he brought me home. That is good news today. It was as good today as it was last Sunday. And it'll be as good tomorrow for you. Well, the Apostle Paul says, if anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. Well, I'm a new creation. Now what do I need to do? Well, put your gloves on, because we've got to learn how to catch. Get your throwing arm ready. Loosen up. Stretch it out. We've got to learn how to throw. Get your feet ready. We've got to learn how to run. Not everybody who comes to Christ automatically knows how to do every one of these things. In fact, the Bible says, Jesus said, teach them how to pray. Teach them how to walk. Teach them how to speak. We don't just show up and go, all right, I got this whole thing figured out. It's not natural. And I want you all to be natural. And so here's what he says. I love what the Apostle Peter says. Look at chapter 1, verse 2. Or verse 3. His, speaking of God, His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these things, He has given us His very great and precious promises so that through them you may escape the corruption of this world. You may participate in the divine nature. There's that word. You know what? I want to be in God's. I want to be natural with God. I want my life to be in such a way that when I hear things, I just go, God, it's in your control. My transmission went out this week. Well, last week. My van does about 25 miles an hour when I'm pushing it. If I go above that, it tries to hit third gear. And what happens is the whole thing just shuts out and goes neutral. I'm driving down the road because I can only do these short trips. Can't put it on the highway. And so I'm driving along down Pine Grove and I'm cruising along and I'm accidentally, you know, you just want to keep pushing. And I get it up to about 30 and it cuts out. And now I'm just coasting until it cuts back in. And I said, God, your van is broken. If you want it to work, you have to fix it. We took it in. They said, that'll be $1,500 for a transmission. I went, yeah, it won't. I didn't pay a third of that for that van a couple years ago. I said, Lord, you got a couple options here if you want your van to work again. You got to get it fixed for free, or you got to put money in my checking account. Now, in the natural, well, I got to. In the supernatural, where I want to be a part of, I know that's God's vehicle because everything I have is God's. That is not my van. God provided it. God gave us the ability as human beings to transport through those things. God gave me the ability to own that. It is God's. Everything I have is God's. He just asked me to be a steward of His possessions. And so His possessions are parked in my driveway. I want to practice this thing called being natural with God. I want that in my life. I want it to be a normal part of my life. I've got another way I can do this. I can't believe it. I've got bills to pay. I've got things to do. And now the van's broke. Oh, how am I going to? Now, that is the natural in the flesh. That says, well, there is no God operating in my life. There's a human being operating in my life. There needs to be the idea and the understanding that God operates in my life. Look at what Peter says. Let me walk you through his practice schedule. Because if you could take these home and practice these, I'll tell you, you'll begin to walk in the supernatural instead of the human natural. And here's what he says. He gives it, for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith. There's the first one. He says, faith, goodness, and to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control. Self-control, perseverance. Perseverance, godliness. And godliness, kindness, brotherly kindness, and love. Well, let's just walk through his practice schedule. Here we go. Faith. Add to your life faith. When you came to Christ, the first thing you do is you practice faith, don't you? Faith is this. Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is the evidence of things unseen, the certainty of things hoped for. That's a great definition of faith, Hebrews 11:1. You ought to memorize that. You ought to have that on your fridge because as a Christian, that's the first thing you do. When you stand out there in T-ball and you put a glove on a little 4 or 5-year-old and you go, here, the first thing you do is, here, use your glove. This is going to be pretty important in your life. They hit one of those balls at you. Here, this is faith. Here, faith. The most important thing you need to start out with. This is the first thing you put on. Add faith. And here it is. We need to stop seeing what we see, and we need to start seeing what God sees. Two examples. Jocelyn is standing, and she shared that. She's standing in the Dollar General. And the guy walks in with an orange mask, and she goes, he's silly. First of all, I want to say, I think we're getting robbed, okay. Although, living these days, you never know. People in orange ski masks show up everywhere, I guess. The guy puts a gun to her head and says, get down on the floor. And what does she do? She prays. What does she see? God, what did she say up here? She said, hey, if he kills me, I'm going to heaven. If he doesn't, I get to witness to more people. And I'm looking at that going, that is faith. That is seeing what God sees. And what does God see? God sees that she's a child of God, and nobody touches God's children without his permission. And so if he touches her, well, guess what? God's in control. He must have let that happen. Oh, whoa, 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 whoa. Yeah, I believe God is sovereign. And his children, he watches over every part of their life. The other one is a little girl, and she's 9 years old. Yesterday I got a phone call. I'm trying to get ready for this youth trip. We're kidnapping the kids, taking them up to Jeddo for a week. I'm trying to get the book ready, the books ready. Oil in the tractor for one of our outings. And the phone rings, and a family says, Pastor, a lady who's been to church twice since we've been here, I don't really know the family that well, their daughter was just given a diagnosis. She's 9 years old. They found shadows in all of her bones. They believe she has bone cancer throughout her entire body. There's tumors throughout her body. She's 9 years old. She just is a girl that wants to go out and ride her bike and jump in the swimming pool. She's got cancer. The doctor said 100%, we want to put a shunt in before we send you down to Children's so we can start the chemo immediately. They said, hold on, we want to pray. And they started calling people who know how to pray. And I'm telling you, it's amazing the phone calls I get. Well, somebody in your church knows how to pray because that's why we got the I shared with you a couple weeks ago, one lady said, there's some magic going on. That's how people are looking. They know something's happening. They don't even know what to call it. I call it faith. Amen. So I show up yesterday, just took my oil to anoint. That's what the scripture says in James chapter 5. And the lay hands, I said, you know what? I don't have the power to heal anybody. I'm just going to do what God says. I'm going to step away and let God do what he's going to do because that's his job, not ours. I'm not the healer. You're not the healer. God's the healer. We're just the faithful prayer warriors for the healing. I got over there yesterday, and she wanted to bring her daughter here. She had surgery, took a tumor out of her knee. When she got down to the hospital, though, in the meantime, from wanting to put this shunt in, the doctors down in Detroit, they said, no shunt, we're not going to do this. We'll go down to Detroit, get the second opinion. So the doctors in Detroit said, it's not, we can't find any cancer in her. Zero. I walked in yesterday because the mom said, I want to bring her to church to thank God. She wanted to walk her daughter in. She wanted to bring her daughter in. And I thought, wow, she wanted to bring her daughter in to the altar and say, God, thank you. When the Bible says that Abraham laid Isaac upon the altar to sacrifice his son, he wasn't saying, I'm here to sacrifice him. I'm here to give him over to the Lord. He's the Lord's. And she said, I can't get in there because she's got this cast thing on and it'd be really awkward to get her in there. Could somebody come over and pray? I drove over there immediately. I walked in. I sat down with this 9-year-old. I looked at her. Her name is Melody. And Melody said, the doctors told me 100% I had cancer. I said, what do you think? She said, God had something else. I said, you bet he did. The Bible says that faith is the evidence of things unseen, the certainty of things hoped for. You see, we need to start practicing. Are you practicing your faith? Are you practicing walking around seeing what God sees? Or are you practicing walking around seeing what you see? We need to begin to exercise our faith. We need to practice and practice and practice our faith. And then he says to faith, add this to it. Now that you've got the glove on and you've learned that's where it hits, and you've caught that, and you're beginning to see things God's ways, add to faith, he says, add to that goodness. And I love the definition of goodness. It's a beautiful word, and it can be translated this, moral excellence, heroic virtue. Add to your faith excellence. Do it well. In other words, here it is. Practice the way you want to play. If you've ever been in a sport or anything, you know, there's some people that show up for practice. You know what they do? All right, come on, here. You know what that's going to get us in the game? Here. I remember at college watching this young man. His name was Donnie.
and we were in a Division III school, Christian school. He led the nation in three-pointers in every division. He shot over 50% in three-pointers. And I'd watch him in practice. And while other guys are shooting their free throws, and he's running as hard as he can. He's jumping as high as he can at the three-point line. And he's shooting every single time. He practiced so intense, the other guys got mad at him. Slow it down. It's not the game. And he's looked at him and he says, pick it up. It might be. And here it is. I think there are Christians who, if we want to be excellent, then you know what? We need to pick up our practice so that when we get in the game situation, we can perform at our maximum with excellence. We can be heroic in our virtue. But so many people aren't even practicing their faith. Folks, it's time to practice with excellence. Add to your faith goodness. Be good. Do your best with Jesus Christ. Be at your best. What does that mean? That means in everything that I do, work as though I were doing it unto God. In everything that I do. That's goodness. And then he says, add to goodness, knowledge. Knowledge is the idea of, it's actually could be translated, it's gnosko in the Greek, but it can be translated maximum effort. Maximum effort. And what that means is we ought to maximize what we know about God. If I'm going to practice, I need to practice over and over again. What does God say? What does God say? People say, Pastor, I need some advice. And you know, if you've ever called or come by for counseling, the first thing is, what does God say? What does God say? Do you know that you don't need me for that? You don't need me to know what God says. God has already said it. If I were never born, you could still have the answers. You don't need that. What I mean by that is we ought to be practicing learning the Word of God. We ought to be taking the Word of God in our lives. I ought to practice this. What does the Bible say? Oh, yeah. That's right. It says He has given us everything we need through His great and precious promises so that through them I might be able to escape the corruption of this world caused by evil desires and participate in the divine nature. Really? Psalm 119, how can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. You want to get rid of lust? How can I get rid of this lust? How can I get rid of this? Pastor, I'm struggling with the internet. How can you get rid of it? Psalm 119, put it in your heart. I'm struggling with gossip. Let every word that proceeds out of your mouth bless the Lord. So how can I do that? I need to take the word. How can I work in my marriage? Well, the Bible says with gentleness and with love, husbands, love your wives. Wives, respect your husbands. Husbands, give sacrifice and serve unto your wives as Christ did for the church and gave himself for the church. Women, serve your husbands as Christ, or the church serves Christ out of humility and love. You don't need me. You've got it all right here. But you know what? We got to practice it. We got to practice it over and over and over again. Begin to take the Word of God. That's what goodness means. You want to be good? Then take the Word of God into your life. Get that knowledge. Add to your faith knowledge. And then he says this, self-control. Add self-control. You know what that means to me? I was trying to think of this and I thought, here we go. You ready for self-control? It's a beautiful word. It means don't swing at everything. Oh, I've been there. I've seen guys and it's so frustrating. You ever see that guy up there and they get two strikes? Like, okay, make sure it's close. If it's right there, don't swing if it's not there. And then a ball comes up like this and you see these guys going, oh, come here, come here. And you're thinking to yourself, you couldn't hit that if that bat were twice as long. What were you swinging at? I was scared. I was afraid of failing. I was afraid of the pitch. And so I was just going to swing at everything. The Bible says to add to your faith, practice self-control. You got to get an eye for what's right. You got to get an eye for knowing what's good. And as Christians, I need to practice that over and over. I take my kids, we go to the batting cages. Why? So we can get an eye for what is good instead of an eye for what is bad. There are a lot of people swinging at what is bad. Get an eye for what is good. Practice it over and over and over. I coached for years in high school baseball, and I would tell all my guys when they're up to bat, I'd just from third base, I'd say, hey, if it's in the funnel, I'd always talk to them about the funnel. You have to make sure it's in the funnel. Every pitch, it's in the funnel. to try to get them to be thinking. Don't swing at the bat. Self-control. Minnesota Twins have one of the greatest catchers today in baseball. His name is, I think it's Jason Monroe. What's that? Not Maurer. Who's the other guy? Monroe. Justin Moreau. Moreau. Thank you. I knew you baseball guys would get this. They were talking about him the other day. He was up to bat. He's an all-star. He really is good. They said in 4 years of high school varsity baseball, he struck out once. That's unheard of. There's a guy who developed an eye for what was good. Can I tell you, as a Christian, develop an eye for what is good in this world. See what's good. He said, practice this over and over. You go, you know what? That's good. That's good in my life. Take that in. And the bad stuff, just step away. Don't swing. Christians, listen to me. Stop swinging at the junk. The devil will throw you things to get you to participate. Do not participate. Let it go. We need to get rid of the junk. Add to your faith, knowledge, self-control. And I love this. I'm going to ask the worship team to come back up to finish it this way. He says, add to self-control godliness. If you can jot down somewhere godliness, someone says, well, what does godliness mean? Here's a beautiful rendition of a Greek translation of godliness. To worship well. What does that mean? Here it is. Do you know how hard it is for people to worship well? And I want to say this with all candor and out of all respect for those of you that are not singers. It doesn't matter. I know it's not natural. I've had people say, Pastor, if we could just not have any music at all, it'd be great. Let's just get right to the word. Let's get to the meat. I understand that. There are some people say, oh, if we could just have one of those beautiful pipe organs, you know, we could have, you know, 100 different pipes up here. Or if we had a bell choir, that'd be beautiful. Yes, they would be. Oh, Pastor, if we could just pick it up a notch. Oh, Pastor, if we could take it down a notch. And I'm going, up a notch, down a notch, higher bells, lower bells, no bells, bells and whistles. I want to say to you, I don't know what your preference is, but the Bible says that we ought to practice over and over and over worshiping well. It's called godliness. It's becoming like God. In other words, God created us to worship. That's why He made us. And you know how hard it is for people to just say the word hallelujah, which is the word to praise the Lord, to hallel, to exalt, luya, the Lord, Jehovah. It is so hard for people just to lift up and exalt Him. And the Bible says we ought to practice this. This ought to be just a natural. We ought to be able to walk around just practice praising God. It ought to happen. Now, it doesn't have to be with a song, but it does come out of our lips. The fruit of our lips giving praise to God, the Scripture says. It is so hard for people to do. I understand that. So I asked the band to come up and do one song. I'd like us to practice our praise. We need to get our praise on. You can't be a good praiser if you don't praise. And the Bible says, add to all these things godliness. Praise Him. The Bible says, in fact, Jesus went so far as to say to a group of people, look, if you don't sing, the rocks are going to sing. And somebody in our modern day wrote a song, Ain't No Rock Gonna Sing In My Place. There's a song with those lyrics in it. And I say, I don't want any rock singing for me. That's not where rock music came from. Guys, let's do that one. Let's do a song. Can we do that first? Whatever you want. Just do one.
No,
I don't care. Let's just praise. Let's stand and praise. Let's just do it.
Let's change up. I'm going to steal this music stand back. We're going to change up what we planned. We're going to do King of Majesty.
Let's do it.
I had the other one memorized, and that's one of the reasons I picked the other one. But then he said praise, and I thought, praise is more of a fun, enjoyable thing. And worship, like, and the music aspect is more of the laid back, let's worship, let's thank God. So when he said praise, I was like, oh, I got to change the song. So let's do King of Majesty. Go ahead, Nathan. Here we go.
You know that I love you. You know that I want to know you so much more, more than I had before. These words are from my heart. These words are not made up. I was there for you. I am thankful. Of majesty, I have one desire, just to be with you, my Lord, just to be with you, my Lord. Jesus, you are the Savior of my soul, and forever and ever I give my praises to you. Love you, you know that I want to know you so much more, more than I have before. These words are from my heart. These words are not made up. I will live for you. I am devoted to you. King of majesty, I have one desire, just to be with you, my Lord, just to be with you, my Lord. Jesus, you are the Savior of my soul, and forever and ever I give my praises to you. Jesus, you are the Savior of my soul, and forever and ever again, I praise to you.
One more time.
Jesus, you are the Savior of my soul, and forever and ever again, I praise to you.
Forever and ever I give my praises to you. Don't go anywhere. Go ahead and have a seat for just a second as we close out. Praise. Getting your praise going. For some people, that is so natural. For others, you just have to practice it. Practice your praise. Practice your praise in your life. Practice when you go. Today you came to practice so that you can go out in the real world where game on, okay, as they say. It's happening out there. You know, you come here and I hope you go, man, I just need to get charged up. I just need to work on a couple of things. I just needed a little adjustment here. Maybe today you came in to do that. It says, add to your godliness brotherly kindness. You know what that means? It means do good to your brothers. The greatest commandment, Jesus said, love God with all your heart. And then he said, and to love your neighbor as yourself. We need to go do things for one another. Help one another. That's intentional. Go practice doing good. Look for it. Don't wait for it to find you. Go look for it. And then he says, add to brotherly kindness. Now that you can love your brother. See, Lois, I can do something for Lois because I love Lois. She's wonderful. Not just because she works in the office. Well, okay, so I owe her. She works in the office. We don't pay her. So I ought to do something nice for her. It's not, brotherly kindness might have a little bit of obligation. Because I love her. She's nice. We're friends. Of course I do something for her. But then he says, add to your faith. You want to practice something? You want to practice perfection? You want to live naturally the way Christ lived? He says, add to brotherly kindness, love. And it's the word agape. No strings attached. That's what agape is. It's unconditional love that says, when you're standing up there to bat, and somebody throws one in just a bean ball. And I don't know if you've ever had a bean ball. I've had a couple this week, okay? I'm a pastor. I get bean balls all the time. And you get hit in the face and the nose starts bleeding. And you think, I can charge the mound right now. Or you can set the bat down and you can just take a little walk with Jesus. Makes it right. You got a choice. You're going to get punched in the nose. And in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus said, you've heard it said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemy and pray for those who persecute you. For what good is it, my brother, if you only love those who love you? Don't even the pagans do that? But I say to you, love those who persecute you. Then you will be true sons of your heavenly Father. How natural it is to walk the way Jesus did. My mom taught me that as a kid. I had a lot of bean balls. I had a lot of bloody noses. I had a neighbor that I fought with, Johnny. We probably fought every other day. I've never had so many bloody noses in my entire life as I did on 855 Annette Street in California. And I lost every single fight I was in with him. I can remember like it was just like the sun rising. I would get punched in the nose. It would bleed. I would go home. I would cry. And my mom would say, walk across the street and apologize. I'm the one bleeding and crying. And I remember time after time walking across the street, knocking on the door. And Betty answered the door, and I, what happened to you? Another bloody nose. Johnny, get over here. And I'd stand there and apologize for getting a bloody nose. Because my mom always said, that's what you do. That was right. You humble yourself, and you don't care who's right. That's what love is. Love is not caring who's right. If we could do that, folks, practice this. My mom taught me something that maybe would help me as a Christian, as a pastor. If you don't care who's right, things can be a whole lot better. Love unconditionally. Practice that over. You guys are going to leave here in just the next few seconds. You go to practice where it's really going to be played. Where you live, where you work, where your family is. Let it become natural. And the world will look at you and go, wow, that's what faith is. That's what kindness, goodness, that's what perseverance is. Let it be natural. Father in heaven, I pray that we don't just hear this word. God, let us go put it into practice. Let it become so natural. God, I thank you for Jocelyn's faith. That rocked my world this week. When she told me that a gun was put to her head. She had more than a gun. She had a tumor put to her head. Lord, her world could have come crashing down. Jesus, lover of my soul, you took me from the miry clay. You set my feet on the rock to stay. Though my world may fall, I'll never let you go. God, thank you for her faith. She just simply said, hey, God's in control. Thank you, Lord. Let us walk with that kind of faith today. Let us take your word. Take you at your word. We love you, Father. I love you with all my heart. And God, sometimes it's so hard to just naturally walk in it. Give us our benediction, the supernatural, that we might participate in your divine nature. Thank you, Jesus, for your grace. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful week.